Bro.
Motherfuck, noise. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, noise.
You ain't smoking weed because you got a good job, then by all means make your paper, boo-boo. But if you ain't got no job and you not smoking weed, I don't know what the fuck you are doing with your life. I really don't.
Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting, broadcasting live on the Shuli Network every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996. The godfathers of podcasting themselves, Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell.
In Roman numerals... Oh, decided to go on mute. In Roman numerals, it's CXXIV. In binary, it's 111100111101. And if you were to convert it from pounds to kilograms, it'd be almost 61. The number is 134, and this is the 134th episode of this stupid show. I'm Donnie, that's Tid.
Hey, wow. It has been a minute since you've done one of those, huh? Like, it has been a hot, hard,
in the chat.
Minute. Yeah, very nice to be here on the Shuli Network, of course. Hello to Corndef, new member. Thank you so much for joining us. Douglas in the chat, Corey in the chat, Johnny 1.0 in the chat, Eric R in the chat, a ton of people, Shuli in the chat. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight on this. This what episode 134 just happens to fall on 420.
Wow. Happy 420, everybody.
There you go.
So in honor of 420, we're going to be asking everyone out there in the live chat, and I'm going to be asking you, Tid, a little bit later on, what's your favorite stoner movie of all time? If you're in the live chat, throw up your suggestions. Favorite stoner movie of all time. Tid, do you have a front runner right off the hop, or you want to talk about it later?
No, I've got a few of them. I've got a few. Okay. I've been around for a few stoner movies in my day, so I've got a few of them, so we'll get to those.
That's code for being older than dirt. Speaking of 420, before we get to our guest, I was curious for your thoughts on this story. Zen Cannabis, Tid, they unleashed a 420-pound edible. This chocolate bar is 4.2 million milligrams of THC.
Okay. All right. Here's the problem.
$42,000 if you want to purchase.
The problem I have with it, though, is like just like most edibles, they're unpredictable. So what happens if the entire amount of that 4.2 million is in one little corner? Can you imagine if that was the problem? And then the rest of it is just straight up chocolate, but you eat that one little corner, you get that one sweet spot. Oh my goodness. That would be.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm not really a weed guy. That would just be death. That would be the end of me.
Really?
It's not edible.
Oh, we should try that.
Just start getting fucking high on the air.
No, just you.
No one would know the difference. You are high every week when we do this show. I tell people all the time, I've known this man for almost three complete decades.
Right.
And in all that time, I don't think I've ever seen him like completely sober. Ever.
All right. Well, that's probably.
Have I?
No. No, because you've never seen me sleeping. And then I'm probably high too, right?
I have seen you sleeping and you were still stoned.
Exactly. We got a bunch of people already writing in with their answers. Half Baked, I'm seeing, is making a couple of appearances here. Up in Smoke, of course. Nice Dream, some old Cheech and Chong stuff. Tropic Thunder, good stuff. Good stuff.
Most underrated Cheech and Chong movie is not Up in Smoke. It's the next movie. That shit was my jam in high school. Man, Cheech and Chong, the next movie.
I figured somebody like you was going to say like Corsican Brothers or something like that.
No, that's really dog cheap. Shit. Yeah. Corsican Brothers is okay, but
Nice Dreams is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ton of them, man. Cheech and Chong, they put out bangers. You know what I mean? And that was the era, too.
favorite stoner movies, guys. We want to hear from you. Send them in. And, you know, you give us something original, we'll throw it up on the screen. Oh, yeah, there we go. Cheech and Chong's the next movie. That is a classic. If you've have you seen it, Tid?
What? Are you kidding me? I've seen every Cheech and Chong movie, right? There's literally days around my house that I will just, like, go on a marathon of Cheech and Chong movies and seeing if I can keep up, like drinking games.
Do you remember what icon in show business made a very early appearance in the next movie before anyone knew who the fuck he was? He played a hotel clerk.
Paul Rubens?
That's exactly right. Well done, Pee-wee Herman, Paul Rubens. Good for you.
I see Uno, $4.99 super sticker. There, I said it. Don't know what it means.
So I think one of the producers told us super stickers just when they put like one of those emojis or something in there, right? Tremendous. But thanks for the $4.99. Much appreciated.
Friday is making a show up here in the thing. Kingpin doesn't disappoint. Yeah, Kingpin does not disappoint, Eric. You're absolutely right. Wow.
Friday is a great movie.
Right?
So quotable, right?
What about like next Friday and the Friday after that?
Oh, dog shit. Dog shit. Next Friday was dog shit.
You get stuck because they're on and you don't want to change the channel and you're already high because you watched Friday. And so next thing you know, you've watched all three of them in succession.
True statements, except I wasn't high. I was just too lazy to get the remote. Oh. But yes, true statements.
Actually, I was talking about me.
Yeah, I know. That was an autobiography right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to sit here and just bullshit around all night long, even though that is what we normally do. We are going to get to our featured guest because right now it is time for the big hello. And this week's guest is a recipient of the Phil Hartman Award, which is presented to an individual for bettering the Canadian comedy community, which means like she brought orange slices to open mic night. I'm not sure. We'll ask. But she's a fearless comedian who's also won awards as an actor and a writer. You've seen her on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, Nickelodeon, FX, and Disney, though I doubt her Disney appearances included her bit on anal. She's also one of now our growing collection of Degrassi alum to have appeared on this show, along with Snake, Caitlin Ryan, and Joey Jeremiah. So we can confidently say of all the Degrassi people to have made an appearance on this program, she's easily the most recent. I saw her on Instagram, and she was talking about how she was recently a guest on another podcast where she became the first white woman ever to appear. And on this show, she is the 34th white woman to appear because I counted, and that's because white women are good by us. She also has the distinct honor of being the first guest on this show to have been divorced, remarried her ex-husband. That's right, she got divorced and then remarried the same guy. She is our very own Elizabeth Taylor, or maybe Elon Musk. We'll find out where she stands on AI and vaccines. And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for a guest. She's about to slay, wins all the awards, probably even ballet, a big ass star from here to Bombay, telling funny ass jokes, making straight women gay. I seen her just the other day.
My dismay.
Now let's go without delay. Have mercy, Miss Percy. Let's give it up for Renee.
Woo! Wow! Thank you so much. Making straight women gay. That means my Disney career is over. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jenna Jameson.
That is a compliment, right?
Yeah, it's the Jenna Jameson of comedy then, right?
Yep. Yeah. Now my Disney and Nickelodeon shows are now all canceled. Thank you. That's great. Yeah,
the reason I said that is because a friend of mine said to me today, said, "Hey, who's your guest on the podcast tonight?" I said, "Renee Percy." "Oh, let me look her up." And so she looks you up and she watches a couple of your clips, your reels. And she's like, "I would switch teams."
Oh, okay. I'll take that. That's a good compliment.
That ain't bad.
That was a backhanded compliment. She was like, who's your guest? I'll look her up. Meaning I'm so not famous that they had to Google. How many pages down did she have to look to find me?
She probably just went straight to the IG, straight to the source.
That's what these online detectives do,
you know?
This is very flattering. I'm happy to be your 34th white woman and your 8,000th Degrassi person. That's good.
Thank you.
Glad I made the list way down there.
The boys are pulling up her Instagram right now on the screen. Renee Percy, comedian. You can look her up on IG. There she is. So listen, thanks for hanging out with us. It's great to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
You're podcasting all over the place, aren't you? Like I saw you were somewhere else just recently.
I was on another podcast. Yeah. And I was the first white woman they'd had on the podcast. First white person, I think, on the podcast. That was a lot of pressure to hold up all white people.
Did you represent well?
I hope so. There were two of us, though. They did double down because they were like, I don't know if one is going to cut it. So between the two of us, I think we did all right. I think it was good.
I love that.
Yeah.
I got it. Like, I'm curious to know. I went to your website and I was reading about your background and I saw the piece about started on Degrassi when you were 12 years old.
I did.
I'm a Degrassi head from back in the day.
And you don't remember me.
I'm trying to remember which character you were.
Honestly,
I tried looking you up and I couldn't find you.
I got written off the show at one point. I was 12 when I was on that show, 12 and 13. Basically, okay. I got paid to walk the halls for 2 years and still the best job I've ever had. It was, I was 12 years old. I was the youngest person on the show and I just wanted to fit in so bad. My best friend was 16. I was trying to go to keg parties and smoke and be cool. I'm 12. And they wanted to dress me in this men's fedora hat, which to me, I was a little homegirl, B-girl. I had the big pants. The clothes they put me in was so mortifying to me as a 12-year-old girl. And they wanted me to wear glasses and a men's fedora. And they thought that was cool. And so every day, the second they'd call cut, I'd take my glasses off. And because I didn't wear the when you're 12, that's the worst thing you can do to somebody is put them in glasses. Yeah. And I'd always forget my glasses. I left them in holding every day. They'd always have to send a runner to go back and get my glasses because I never wanted to wear them. And they got so annoyed with me. And one day I was wearing them. I kept losing them. And then one day I was wearing them in a scene and they were too big for me because I'd lost the first 5 pairs they'd given me. And I was walking and I looked down and they fell off and I stepped on them. And it was a pure accident, I swear. Sure. But I know. That was the look they gave me too. They were like, okay, you don't have to wear the glasses anymore. And I thought I'd won the jackpot. Didn't really realize that meant, okay, great. You are no longer going to get written into the show anymore. So I didn't have to wear the glasses, but then I no longer had any lines. I had a character named Pippi.
Pippi. Okay.
Yep. For 2 seasons who basically just walked the halls.
I like I like the fact they put you in a fedora. Was Pat Mastriani your stylist?
Yeah, I don't know. They were like, it worked for him. Let's put her in it. And they were like, you're going to be the new slut in a fedora and glasses. I was like, I don't think you know what the word slut means. I disagree.
If I'm a kid in high school and I see a girl in a fedora and glasses, I'm thinking she's desperate for attention.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. It was an odd time in my life, but I honestly think that's how I learned to get into comedy because after that, I play any loser role. I always play the loser, the geek, the weird best friend. Now I do the most ridiculous things on stage for a laugh. Now I don't care what I look like. I just want to get a laugh. So it was a good learning experience and I learned it young.
I know Tid wants to jump in, but before he does, let me just give you this little slice of life. Because you gave me a flashback just now. I was a 5th grader when I got glasses for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I hated them. Okay.
You slut.
Mm-hmm. You're growing up in the 80s with glasses. This is just a target on your face, right? On top of the fact that I'm already a giant beanpole, right? Mm-hmm. Now kids have another reason to try to start fights with me. So I accidentally on purpose broke my glasses. So I didn't have to wear them anymore. I eventually went back to them in high school, but I had the ugliest glasses ever. It was only when I met this ugly son of a bitch next to me that he was roasting me and grilling me that I actually went and got contacts for the first time. He bullied me into contacts.
At what age? How old?
19, I think I was. 18 or 19.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he was even scarier looking then than he is now.
It's the long con. I've been Stockholming this guy.
Bullied into contact. I've heard of worse things people getting bullied into doing. So if it was just contact and not crack, that's all right. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
He also bullied me into anal.
But I made him wear glasses then.
There you go. That's it.
I needed him to look
just
like
a money shot.
So you can see exactly what was happening. Got it.
Sorry, Tid. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Renee, I know that like you talk about that's when you got into comedy and you've obviously you've been able to travel. Like if you go through your list of stuff, you're on a lot of playing with a lot of people. And before we had talked before, you actually just came back from going over to Japan.
I did. I just got back this weekend. Yeah. So I'm still a little jet lagged.
How crazy was, is this the first time you've gone over to Japan?
Yeah, it was my first time in Japan. Japan's amazing. I really liked it. It's so clean. It's so the opposite of America where I live. People were very nice, helpful, clean. It was orderly. It was delightful there. I got to perform there too and wasn't sure how jokes would travel internationally, but it was a all expat audience and it was super fun.
What city in Japan were you in?
I was in Tokyo.
Okay.
I traveled around too, but yeah.
Did you make it to Roppongi?
Where? No, I was in Tokyo, Hakone, and Kyoto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say Roppongi makes Disney World makes Amsterdam look like Disney World. Seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's the filthiest place on earth. Go ahead, Tid. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't get that.
It always baffles me whenever, you know, you go to an island or overseas or anywhere and everybody uses the word expat. But if you just cross from the United States into Canada, like I did, I'm an immigrant. You go from Canada to the United States, you're an immigrant. Why can't and I, like I'm an American who lives up here in Canada now, you're a Canadian who lives in the United States, why can't we call ourselves expats?
We are.
It's just so weird,
I'm an expat here.
Technically was a refugee.
Yeah.
It was political asylum. Yeah. I was.
When they chase you out of the state.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you were excommunicated. That's different.
I really was, Nate.
Were you really?
I was. I'm from Las Vegas originally, okay? And I was an 18-year-old kid who had gotten into trouble back in 1980, because I'm, you know, old like that. And that's exactly right. You hear that in the background? That's exactly what happened. Nothing was legal then, okay? Pot wasn't legal back then, and we can talk about this because it's 420, and I got busted with 1 gram. One gram of pot, but in the state of Nevada at the time, it was a federal offense.
Whoa.
So when it came time to go to court, the judge said to me, it'd be best if you didn't live here anymore. Thankfully, I had an out. And now you go down there all the time. This is like crazy back then. You go down there all the time, and there's more dispensaries than there are 7-Eleven. Right? Yeah. So I don't look at it like I was a criminal. No, I was a pioneer.
There you go. You paved the way. That's right.
I love that.
It was the drugs and the bullying and the anal that got you kicked out. But it was a package deal. I get it.
So I've been to Japan a couple times on business. Yeah. And then while there, I had the opportunity to do some sightseeing. And on the word of former professional wrestler Steve Corino, I made my way to Roppongi because he told me I'd have to go for at least a night just to see what it was like. And the red light district with women behind glass doors is insane. Like it's bizarre. But anyway,
such a contradiction for Japan because everything else is so like orderly and proper.
Roppongi is next level, man. But
yeah.
Did you have any culture shock moments in Japan, whether it was the food or the every single thing on earth is available in a vending machine or the creepy cat cafes? Was there anything that stood out to you?
I did go to a micro pig cafe. No cat cafe. I think it was just how quiet it was. I have a video of me like at that five-way intersection. It's super busy in the middle of Tokyo. It's super famous and it's packed. Thousands of people. And the video, it's quiet. Like if that were in Canada or America, there would just be like yelling and yahoos and there'd just be stuff. People drive, no honking. It's just, it's quiet. It's so weird. Like we were the loudest people there and, you know, we're just talking. Like you felt embarrassed to like talk loud.
You didn't.
Oh yeah. There's the, yes, that's the cafe I went to. That's it. Yep, that's it. The Maite Cafe in Kyoto.
Who pulled that up? Is that Andy that pulled that up or Austin?
They are quick, huh?
Yeah.
Who pulled that up?
That was me, Austin.
Added boy, Austin.
Thank you, sir.
You're getting some extra cornflakes in your bowl tonight.
More weed, please.
That's Tid's department. Micro Pig. I've never been to the Micro Pig Cafe. I went to a cat cafe in Japan, and I was so creeped out. Like by it the was cats? Just
cats. They have that here, even I think they have one in LA. Cat cafe. Yeah,
they do now. But
they're called Chinese restaurants.
No,
stop it. This is back in 2014. Like I'd never heard of anything like that before, right? And it's just weird, like sipping your coffee. And you've got cat fur everywhere.
Dude, I had to perform in a cat cafe not that long ago. I performed at one here down in Long Beach. They have a cat cafe, but I think they're all rescues, so you feel bad. But I'm like super allergic to cats too, and that's how bad I needed a gig.
That's a punchline. That's a bit right there.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was a weird thing. They had this like double enclosure to get in because they don't want the cats to get out. So there was like a double exit, and they had some staff in the double enclosure. And I was like, what did this staff do that they're in the cage and the cats are the ones that are running around? Like it was an odd experience.
Yeah, those places are bizarre, man. I was creeped. That's not the one I went to that Austin just pulled up on the screen, but that is, I did go to one cat cafe with the person that was showing me around. But Tid, wasn't there a story that you were pointing out to me earlier about something that just happened in Japan this week?
We talk about weird things, and I mean, we didn't see if you're going to take your camera to one of those gardens like Logan Paul did or something like that, you know, the forest in Japan. But there was a story about a bartender in Japan who got fired, I don't know if you saw this or not, for mixing her own blood into drinks and then serving it to customers.
Whoa.
What in the vampire sex bar is going on here?
No kidding. That is, that's taking your job pretty seriously.
So you missed out on a lot of stuff in Japan.
I did Japan wrong. There's this red light district. There's like vampire cocktails. I went to the wrong Japan, I think.
Yeah, let's go back at the intersection of no noise and shut up, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. They do take their cocktails seriously there, though, but that I didn't see. Although, now that you're pointing it out, this is coming from the Toronto Sun, so who knows?
Oh, fake news? But
Does it come with a photo of a girl in a bikini? We'll see.
Ray's leftover prime rib from the wedding would like to chime in and say that is a Bloody Mary.
Right.
So indeed.
Maybe.
Good one.
I'll tell you what, the Bloody Mary cocktail always creeped me out. Like in Canada, we don't do Bloody Marys. We do Caesars.
Caesar, yeah.
And a Caesar is fucking delicious. But I will never order a Bloody Mary because the name grosses me out. I can't even say it and say I want
not the
drink.
Clam juice? That part doesn't gross you out? Just
no,
the name?
I'm good just with the clam juice.
Squeezing the clams? That's that one. That part's totally fine. But yeah. I do like a good Caesar though. We have Caesars down here in LA on Canada Day. We have a big Canada Day party and do Caesars.
Oh, like you make them yourself?
No, we just like take over a bar and make them make it for us.
Is there a lot of expats down there?
Oh, so many. Yeah. My husband's actually the president of Canadians Abroad. It's like a huge expat association here. And really? There's over 500,000 Canadians in Southern California. So there's a lot. We're taking over down here.
Our producer, Austin, what city are you in again? Are you in St. Louis or something?
Yeah, that'd be the closest big city, yeah.
So you have no idea what a Caesar is, right?
No, not a clue.
So this guy went and Wikipedia'd it like we were making the shit up. Like,
Canadians are shifty. Drink. You guys are shifty. I don't know.
It is shifty because a Bloody Mary has obviously been around a lot longer, and that's where it came from. And Canadians were like, oh, how can we make this a little bit different? I don't know. Let's add some shellfish juice to it. And really? Who had that sitting around going, yep, this will work, and just dump
blood?
Yeah. Weird.
It's fucking delicious, especially if you put some bacon in there and
a lot of hot sauce.
This is what I'm convinced of, is I think that, like, you know, my wife does this too. We'll get to a restaurant and she'll order up a Caesar, because we live in Canada, and that's only because it always comes with food. You know what I mean? There's like snacks that come along with this drink. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the garnish itself is like a salad on top of it. Like there might be shrimp and bacon and all this stuff. Yeah, it's like a whole meal. Yeah.
I love that Austin is like highlighting the text on screen. Like he's reading this for the first time. Like, what the fuck is... We can pull that down now, my man.
Austin's doing research on his own time here.
It's this strange new world in Canada.
It is kind of weird that we just accept that. We're like, yeah, it's just clam juice, you know? Yeah. Like that's totally a normal thing to add to a cocktail. But hey, Japan does blood. I mean, who are we to judge? You know what I mean? We got clam juice.
Yeah. My first night in Japan, I was told to eat what was served. And to not question, and what came out was a big steak of horse.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I would say nay to that. The first night I was there, they had a drink that, you know how like a tequila, they have the worm in it? Instead of the tequila, the worm, they had a gigantic snake in I can't remember what the liquor was called. But yeah, they had a gigantic dead snake at the bottom of it.
I think the traditional name for that is fuck no.
Is fuck no? Yeah.
Speaking of fuck no, I have to ask you about this because Tid is a very happily married man. Mm-hmm. I am very happily divorced. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious.
And I'm the best of both worlds.
How the fuck do you do what you did? How is that a thing?
How do you get divorced and then I just believe in recycling. I'm a good Canadian. I don't know. I don't know. We got divorced and then we got remarried. I don't know. We're like, let's make this mistake again. You know, let's do it again.
It wasn't an ugly divorce.
The first time it was not pleasant, but we still loved each other, but we're like, we're not in the right place for this right now. And then a year and a half later, we're like, you know what? I mean, sometimes you're like, I can do better. And then you go out there and you're like, I really can't. I can't. Right. So I'm going to go
like, which one of you felt like you wanted to make your rounds a couple of times first before realizing
you both did. That's it. You know, sometimes we just had to go out, you know, just go out and find ourselves, really. We just find ourselves, and we did. Yeah. And then we found each other back in each other's bed. And we're like, this is better.
You could have just tried swinging.
Yep. That's a big thing in LA. That's
it's a big thing everywhere.
We had dabbled with that at some point. When you came to LA, we just like, wow, people here are so friendly. And we didn't realize. We're like, oh, they're really, really friendly. Okay, I get it.
The Shuli Network, of course, she tested free agency. That's all.
That's right. That's right.
I love that. And I don't believe the rumors that Tid was asking or suggesting you could test swinging because he was offering himself up as a third. I don't think that's actually the case. When you took that break and then got back together, is this before the popularization of the dating apps and online craziness where people are hooking up like on a right swipe?
No, it was during that. Yeah. Oh. I mean,
you still went back.
I never really did the app thing. The apps didn't exist when we got together. And then when we broke up, they did, but I found somebody very quickly and, never did the apps. And then, so I missed that whole, I feel very out of it. Everybody talks about the dating apps, and I have not much experience with them.
Well, the next time you get divorced, you can download.
Yeah, that's right. Next time, that's right. I've got it on backup. It's there. I just have to like download it from the cloud. It's there.
You just pull it up. Don't make me download this.
That's right. Yes, you are emptying the dishwasher or else. Yeah.
I watched a bunch of your stand-up this week, leading up to tonight's interview. I've seen your stuff before, but I wanted to refresh myself on some of your material. For anyone out there who may not have seen Renee's work, Austin, can we play a little clip of Renee?
The cool thing I've discovered, though, you guys, is that as long as I'm talking about procreating, I can talk about sex. Like, I can tell everybody here, you know, we're trying. And everyone's like, oh, my God, that's amazing. But I can't tell everyone, you know, we're trying anal tonight. You don't want kids, you know. You can't do that. Found that out the hard way.
Nice. The one choice clip you pick is the anal one. That's good. My mom will be proud.
We're trying to go after our audience here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
We have an audience?
We're pandering to our audience. Let's face facts.
I think we're pandering to Tid. He's the one that bullied you. So we know who picked that. Yeah, we know who picked that one.
Guilty. Absolutely. Do you find sometimes like being a female comic, like you almost like, do you feel sometimes that you have to take the sex route with, you know what I mean, with your writing and stuff like that? Or is it just,
I don't feel like I have to take the sex route. I think that guys talk about sex all the time. And then if a woman talks about, they're like, oh, she's taking the sex route. I'm like a guy's never talked about sex or his dick or masturbating or anything. I think it's good, actually, to have a female's perspective on it. And to be honest, in that clip, I'm talking about procreating. I'm talking about my husband and I trying to have a kid, have a baby. So it's not just for shock. I mean, the anal joke is for shock value, but you know, it's not just gratuitous sex jokes for no reason. I'm talking about our process of trying to have a kid and going through IVF. And so there's smart sex jokes. Okay, Tid, there's more behind it than just
literally.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Is it exhausting to you when you get the questions, and I'm not saying this to slight Tid, I'm just saying in general, is it exhausting when you get the questions that are prefaced by female comic as opposed to just comic?
I guess so. It's like being the first white comedian on that podcast. It's like, I don't want to represent for all females. I don't want to represent for all anything. I just want to be comedian Renee Percy. I mean, you know, I feel like we're past the days of like, your next comedian's a female. Like, it's not that big of a deal anymore. There's so many female comedians now. We don't have to differentiate and spell it comedian with an N-N-E at the end. Like, because we don't say a doctore. Like, we don't feminize any other doctor, lawyer, any other profession. So it just, I don't know. I think just funny is funny, and it doesn't matter really what you have between your legs. That's not really, it doesn't have an effect on
how do you respond funny. How do you respond to the segment of people out there who say, well, they don't spell it comedian anymore for the same reason they don't say actress anymore? It's all this woke bullshit, these people that complain that we're too woke. Like, how do you respond to that segment?
I don't think it's woke. It's just natural. Like, we don't feminize doctor or lawyeress or like any other profession. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you need to differentiate, really. It's just, they're a comedian. Are they funny? Yes or no, regardless of gender. I don't think gender has any effect on that. That's all.
And it's crazy to me how much things have changed, even in a short amount of time. Like, I've talked on this show lots about one of the things I've done outside of broadcasting and everything else for many, many years. I've been a basketball coach. And early in my basketball career, I was coaching a prep team called the Bears. And because I was 22 or 23 and I had nothing but free time, I was coaching the boys team and the girls team. The boys team was the Bears. The girls team was the Lady Bears.
Oh my gosh.
They're all Lady part of the same fucking club. They have literally the same hilarious uniforms, but the girl's uniform has to say Lady in cursive above Bears.
In case people couldn't tell. Yeah.
Right. And I always thought it was so stupid. And I just found out the other day that club only just recently changed their logo. So the girls are all Bears now.
Wow. Well, that's better than their first suggestion of vagina bears. So I guess Lady Bears is better. I don't know.
Vagina bear.
Are we not allowed to call ladybugs ladybugs now then? Too?
Are they all shut. It's woke.
That's right. They're just bugs.
It's bugs now?
Yeah.
So
they're bugs. They're theys.
Speaking about that segment of the audience, there's another story that was in the news this week that I thought was interesting. I don't know, guys, if you have a visual for this up there, but there was a man who decided to go and destroy all of his Jack Daniel's supply, his merchandise, his alcohol, t-shirts, hats, whatever the fuck he owned, because he was a Jack Daniel's head, good old Southern boy that loves his Jack Daniel's, because Jack Daniel's has gone woke. They're too woke. So now he wants nothing to do with them. Like, and it's because they have an ad or a YouTube video or something that has drag queens in the video. So this guy's losing his shit. Like, doesn't this just come across? Here it is. Here's the story. It's on Yahoo.
Oh, not the Toronto Sun. I heard something about this, but I didn't see the ad that he was reacting to.
There was like a 2-minute video of a couple of three drag queens going to the Jack Daniel's distillery and getting a tour, and I get it when you go, you know, why does everyone have to all of a sudden be smashing stuff into my commercials, and why does it have to be this way? But at the same time, when you're so opposed to this, don't you think you just come off as hateful? Don't you think you just come off as like,
it's past hateful. It's like, methinks he doth protest too much. Like, why does this bother him so much? Let's look in his panty drawer. There's a thong in there for sure.
Like, was drag queen number three a little too sexy and it moved? What's
that's
wrong
right. That's exactly what happened. And now he's freaked out. Yeah.
Well, like, have you ever gone to the point where gone out, spent money on a product, had this product, and then didn't agree with, you know, said makers of said product. So you destroyed this product that you've already paid for. They don't give a shit about
you. Yeah, they already got your money.
You know what I mean? Like, that is, I'm baffled every time I see any of these videos about anybody destroying their Nikes, you know, anybody destroying Carhartt, anybody destroying their Bud Lights. Like,
it's, I know you don't see people. I mean, I don't agree with Elon Musk anymore, but if I had a Tesla, I wouldn't trash it. You know,
apparently those go up in flames on their own. Anyways,
they do that. They do that themselves. We don't have to worry.
Right? It's a feature. I see Uno in here. You're awesome, Renee. $1.99.
Thanks, Uno. Yeah.
Anyone in the chat, if you are listening right now and you dislike or like a company for being woke, if you think that they've gone too far, fuck Budweiser, rah, 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 whatever it is, I want to hear from you. Like, tell me, correct me if you think
We have one right here. Eric R. says he has a friend that no longer watches the NFL because of their stance.
What stance?
I don't know. Maybe the 3-point stance is what I think it's called. Up at the front there. He doesn't like the 3-point stance, his friend says. Apparently it's too bent over for them.
I think that's part of the game.
Yeah. That's just I don't know what game you thought you were watching, but it's professional football. You know, just listen. There's going to be.
I'm so pumped. I just noticed there was a chat. I was in the private chat this whole time, and I was like, I can't.
Patrick Bellamore, JD went woke, so all the merch he broke. That's he's Patrick Bellamore with the.
Hey, I do the rhymes around here, motherfucker.
We have somebody for poetry already.
I don't know, man. I feel like. When people start getting offended, tell me what you think, Renee. When people start getting mad and go, oh, here we go with the woke police and blah, blah. To me, it's like you just instantly failed an IQ test.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that. I feel like we've gotten to this point in culture where people say they're, you know, that offends them or it triggers them and we're supposed to care. It's like, okay, you feel something. Good for you. Doesn't mean we have to change anything. I don't know. It's kind of, I feel like everybody should be able to do whatever they want and you're allowed to feel whatever you want about it. Doesn't mean that everybody else has to then change because you feel you don't like Jack Daniel's anymore. Good for you. If I don't like it anymore, who cares?
I do think too, though,
there's a certain degree of like what Chris Rock talked about in his most recent special, right? Which is the selective outrage that people have towards things like this.
Right.
We talked about this guy a couple weeks ago on the show. I'm a massive fan of actor John Leguizamo. Mm-hmm. But this past week, John Leguizamo came out and I thought he lost his fucking mind. He said the Super Mario Brothers movie is bullshit because there's no Latino in a primary role. And of course, John Leguizamo played Luigi in the bullshit version of the Super Mario Brothers movie back in the 90s that tanked.
So, right.
But he's a Latino that was playing an Italian.
Right, right.
So now he's pissed that what? They didn't recast a Latino to play an Italian? There you go. These guys pulled it. We didn't even say we were going to mention this story and they pulled it up. You guys are great. And I love John Leguizamo, but to me, this is too far, right?
Yeah.
First of all, we're not even talking about Latinos or visible minority. We're talking about fucking cartoon characters here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what's his name? The guy from Key and Peele. He plays one of the main characters, but the character's not black.
Right. Right.
You know, like to me, there's a line of, okay, this is appropriate to get annoyed with. And then there's stuff where it's like, what are you doing? Like, what is that the hill you want to die on?
Exactly. I know things have just gone too far. It's gone too far and I'm all for inclusivity. I want everybody to be inclusive. I do a thing at the beginning of my act. I make sure I welcome every single person in the audience because I have a friend that got not canceled, but he was doing a show at a college and he started by saying, "How's it going, guys?" And they pulled the plug on him because he was only addressing the men and not everybody.
Right.
He wasn't being inclusive. So it's like, it's gotten to the point where it's, you know, you can't say anything without somebody being offended.
How many years ago did you move from Canada to LA?
12.
Okay. 12
years ago. Yeah.
Probably before the popularization of this new custom, which I personally love. Mm-hmm. I have a corporate job in addition to this shindig. And what they do a lot of times is prior to a big meeting, a conference, a town hall, whatever, they will do a land acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And they do this a lot now at sporting events, and they do this a lot now at other type things. So I work for a global company. We had a guy that came in from the southern part of the US, and he's sitting with me in this town hall, and they do a land acknowledgement. And he's whispering to me, "The fuck is this bullshit?" And I'm like, really? Does this bother you? Does this offend you? For anyone out there listening who doesn't understand the concept of a land acknowledgement, because I know that people south of the border may not have heard this term before, it's literally where they take 30 seconds and identify the land we're standing on belong to the First Nations Native people, and these are the names of the you know, the tribes, the clans that own this land. And it's like an acknowledgement that we took this shit from them.
It's kind of a left-handed acknowledgement. Let's be perfectly honest here. It's like, hey, we're standing on your land. We're not giving it back or anything, but you know, we're acknowledging that we're standing on it.
But it's better than not giving credit at all, my friend.
And why does that bother that guy that had a problem with it? I mean, what's the issue for? How does that affect him? Like,
it's so fucking woke. Like when I explained it to him, it's so woke.
It's literally 30 seconds out of your timeline. That, you know what I mean?
But he wasn't going to pay attention in the meeting anyway.
Come to yourself while they're saying it. Like, do something else. You know what I mean? There's absolutely.
Go back to Candy Crush.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't know. I just think, and people, when I say stuff like this, a lot of my family and friends that live in the US, they go, "Oh, you're so liberal. You're so left." And I'm really not. I just think that it's weird to get offended by shit like this.
Yeah.
There you go. Austin, our St. Louis guy, have you ever heard this concept of a land acknowledgement?
I have, but not much.
Okay.
It's very, very, like, if you told me exactly what it was, it'd probably take me a while to come up with, it's for the Indigenous people.
Think of it as Canada's response to the pledge to the flag.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
That's really what it is now.
For 30 seconds,
it's kind of the least we can do. It's like, it's
It's literally
beyond the. It's literally the least we could do. I mean, we stole your land and we put you in, your kids in residential schools and buried them in the backyard. But you know what? Like, now we can't take 10 seconds to be like, this is your land. And we fucked up. Yes.
Since people think I'm so left anyway, I want to throw this at you, Renee, and tell me what you think. Because the story broke yesterday. Fox News having to make a settlement one day before a trial. Mm-hmm. One day, $787.5 million to Dominion for lying to their audiences. Knowingly lying.
Yeah. And the fact that they settled makes me think that, it was worse than that. I mean, there's more to it even. The fact that they're like, you know what? We'd rather pay almost $1 billion than have to go to court and defend this. Like, they know they would be so screwed.
The only part about this that surprises me is that it got this far. Like, normally if a company realizes we're fucked, you know, we don't really have a leg to stand on, they don't let their higher level management get deposed. They don't let them start getting fucking grilled under oath, and because they have nothing to say that's real or true. Like, did you know that you were lying to the American public? Yes.
I was hoping that they would have doubled down on it and gone to trial so that we could have actually gotten some, you know, Tucker Carlson on the stand. Like, the quality of it would have been so fantastic fodder. Shows would have been built on just that alone. It would have been crazy. Renee, I know we're up against the clock because you have another engagement that you have to get to. Absolutely. And it is 420. And we did ask the question earlier on about your favorite, stoner movie. Do you have a favorite stoner movie?
Dazed and Confused all the way. All right.
What's that?
All right.
Nice. All right. Yeah. No, I love that movie. That was a great one.
Go back there,
feel high
guys.
Just watching it.
Was that Renee with Rappaport? Is that what I just saw?
Yeah.
Tell me you guys dated.
No, I've worked with him. This is not my dating profile. These are people I work with.
Tinder, isn't it?
Yeah, this is not my Tinder. That was me opening for him.
This is what you pull up when you and your husband have another fight or whatever. Huh? Could have done it as you swipe down the line and remind him.
I love that.
Amazing. Renee, I want to say thank you so much for joining us here.
You want to, but you're not going to? Oh, okay. No. Ah, no, you said I want to, but
I'm going to leave that up to that chat GPT. No. Where can people check you out? Where are you playing at? When is your next gig? Because this isn't just a thing in Canada, because the two of us are, our headquarters. This is all being blown out from the Shuly Network, which is based down in the States. All of our staff work in the States. So this is a North American thing. Where can they all check you out?
Check out my website, ReneePercy.com, or Instagram, Renee Percy Comedian. I usually post all my tour dates there. If you're in the LA area, I'm at the Improv and the Laugh Factory all the time, and Comedy and Magic. I'll be there this weekend on Saturday, the Roosevelt Theater on Friday. And for Canadians, I think I'm heading up to the House of Comedy June 15th to 18th in Vancouver. So yeah, I'm around. Check it out.
Love Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous.
Who the fuck is Renee Percy?
Who the fuck?
I love that. That's great.
Awesome.
You should put that on a t-shirt. Who the fuck is Renee Percy?
That's true. That was like your friend that was like, I'll look her up. Yeah.
I'm going to buy that t-shirt if you make it. Hey, listen, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We know that you've got
thanks for having me. Appreciate
another engagement to get to, probably another podcast, because you're like podcast promiscuous, which is fun. Thank you for slipping
the podcast hoe. Yo, slipping you in. I like it.
Put your glass on and go slut it up over on some other show, okay?
grab yourself a big chocolate edible and celebrate 420 and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Nice to see you guys. Take care.
All right. Renee Percy, comedian. She's on Instagram. You can go to her website. All the links will be up on godfathersofpodcasting.com.
We've got some other ones here in the chat very quickly, guys. We've got Fast Times, obviously a good stoner movie. Harold and Kumar.
Oh, yeah.
Gibson with that one. Half Baked, of course. I mean, that's a classic. There are a lot of really, really, really good ones. Gina Bobina. Chris is funny. Who knew? I knew.
I'm not just a pretty face. I am funny twice in my life.
Yeah, pretty face.
Yeah, you got that right. Bachelor party. Also, man, these are great.
I'm shocked that no one has mentioned in the chat one of the movies or any of the movies by Kevin Smith. I referenced it with the motherfuck right off the top of the show. Every Kevin Smith movie is a great stoner movie. I don't care if it's Mallrats, Jay and Silent Bob, Dogma. They're all great stoner movies.
I don't know about all of them, but yeah, for the most part.
How about This Is the End?
Ah, the apocalypse movie. Yes. Also, very good. Very good.
I mean, weed may not be at the center of that film, but they were high as balls when they wrote it.
Oh, I mean, that entire crew is high as balls all the time, so good for them, right?
Yeah, that movie. I love that movie.
The Big Lebowski makes it in there. I mean, so here's the thing you got to ask yourself. Are we talking about movies that are based around stoners and, you know, being stoned and drugs and whatnot? Or are we talking about movies that you like to watch while you're high as a giraffe's pussy?
You know what I mean? I think it can go either way, Ted.
No, because the movies that I like to watch when I'm really high are not stoner comedies in any way, shape, or form. Like,
no, it's, you know, National Geographic fuck films.
Godzilla and, you know, Friday the 13th, you know, run those all the way back all day long, and I'm in. But, I mean, as far as, like, sitting down to a stoner movie, my favorite probably... Oh boy. If I'm not going with a Cheech and Chong movie, I'm probably going with something like Half Baked.
What about like Pineapple Express?
It's okay. I mean, you know, it's good for what it is. But I mean, if I'm being honest, yeah, probably the fact that Half Baked was one of those movies that, like, you really kind of realized when Chappelle was just
a genius.
Genius at this stuff. And of course, you know, his writing counterpart in that one, Kevin Brennan. I mean, there's no doubt that dude is a funny, funny dude. Right. So
what about,
I just wanted to, Ted, that was Neil Brennan.
Or Neil Brennan. Sorry.
Not Kevin.
Not the other one.
Yeah. The one
that's right. Doesn't that guy have heat with this station or something like that?
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah, the successful Brennan role.
Sorry. Erase that entire segment then. Apparently we're not putting him over on the channel here. Is that what we're saying?
Got it. Fix it in post. Wait a minute. That's my job. Fuck that. What about Ted?
Also, I mean, a stuffed animal smoking a bong is fucking hilarious. You know what I mean?
There's some great lines in Ted and Ted 2. There's some great lines.
Yeah. Well, Seth MacFarlane, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Hell of a writer. Right? How is that? How can you not, like, it's a stuffed bear smoking a bong. I don't care who you are, that's goddamn funny.
When I asked the question, what about Ted? I was half expecting an assault from you. Like, I'm not a fucking child. I don't watch teddy bear movies. I was half expecting that from you.
It's a bit of a kink.
But a bit of a furry.
Bit of a kink. No, just teddy bears. I don't like those fucking full-grown fuck. Listen, before they were called furries, they were called mascots for college teams. Okay?
And you fucked them anyway.
Well, just three.
You have fuck three mascots and suddenly it's a fetish.
Right?
Yeah, I think the original Harold and Kumar is definitely near the top of my list. You know? That's a great film, man.
Not all the Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle?
Yeah, that's the first.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But the Guantanamo Bay, Harold and Kumar is fucked up Christmas. Like, none of that shit. The original, though, is... Chef's kiss. That's a little bit of art.
Really?
Have you watched it?
What do you really know about stoners, though? That's my question.
I've hung around you my whole life.
Okay, but you've never been in the mindset enough to, like, have you ever been in the mindset enough to be that high and, like, go out on an adventure while that high?
No, but I have been home high on edibles to the point where I was like, I couldn't move. I've been that guy.
So like 5 milligrams?
Yeah.
You such.
Shut up.
They were wow. Ten, and you ate it like in halves, didn't you?
No, I had two 10 milligram oil capsules. Like they're like Advils. I had two of those. So that's 20.
Uh-huh.
And within 20 minutes, I was like, I can no longer move.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't remember what those days would have been like.
No, you need the 420-pound chocolate bar.
1,000%, or actually 420,000%, I guess. Yeah, like I would have much
okay, so that. Let me ask you for real, though, because if I have 10, 20 milligrams, I'm fucked up because I'm not a weed guy. Mm-hmm. If you, and I know you're not huge on edibles, but if you were going to have edibles, what type of milligram count would you need to be baked?
To be baked or just yeah. to like, you know what I mean?
No, to be, cool no, 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 to be fucking high, like proper high.
Oh,
like are we talking like 1,000 milligrams here?
Oh, you'd be really high off of that. Yeah. But I mean, typically about 450. Yeah.
I would die.
Yeah. 150, like is like, you know, hey, let's go for a leisurely stroll around the block.
Oh my God.
Right.
I'm telling you, I had 20 and I couldn't move. I felt like I was having an out of body experience.
I want to sit down one time, with Joey Diaz and eat edibles. That's on my bucket list of things to do. It's like okay. Eat edibles with Joey Coco Diaz and just have a fucking great time.
I have told you that one of the things on my bucket list is to go back to Vegas, but to go to Vegas with you, the Nevada resident. And if we go to Vegas together, I will do whatever stupid amount of edible you want me to do.
and we tape the entire thing like a fear and loathing moment for Donnie.
I will make sure that I have a chaperone so you don't do butt stuff to me.
I would aside, do that,
no. Aside from that, yes, I will do whatever size edible you want me to do.
I would totally do that. And we would go out into the middle of the desert and I would like just leave you and this camera person there. And it would just be called Fear and Leaving in Las Vegas. Cause that's what I would do to you.
Dude, my anxiety would be at a fucking peak.
And that would be the best part of the entire fucking movie. You'd find out 6 months later that they finally find you wandering the desert like fucking like Moses out there looking for his people. Meanwhile, you're like just off of the strip by 2 minutes, but you just
you're a monster.
Your shit out. Oh, yeah, it'd be great. I'm telling you, it's quality TV. Gina Bobina available. There you go. She's down for it.
Oh, right? She's coming to Vegas.
Yep, she's down to going out into the desert, eating a bunch of edibles, and off you go. Smart move. That's what you do.
It's time.
That's what you do. Waiver right there. Have Valium on hand because your anxiety attack kicks in like that. That's a smart move, right? Have Valium on hand, and then if you find out that you're a little low on the Valium, maybe have some MDMA or some acid or something like that.
This is how fear and loathing just started
to happen, right? I'm telling you right there. I am a trained professional, Dr. Tid from the Shuley Network. Thank you very much. Yes, that is true. I am a trained doctor in pharmaceutical partying.
This is the funny thing in the contradiction and the contrast between Tid and myself. I'm relatively drug free. Like up until COVID, I had never done any type of weed, recreational drugs, sure. Anything. And then COVID, I started doing a little bit of CBD just to go to bed, a little bit of edibles with like 5 milligrams. And that's it. Like I'm not a weed guy. Tid is a fucking hardcore. And we used to play this game where I would see somebody who's all fucked up and I'd go, Tid, what are they on? And he would correctly identify whatever narcotics that person had ingested that day.
That's true. But he had, and I had many, many years of reading people. It was kind of my job, you know what I mean, for 13 plus years of my life. So yeah, there was always that. And I've done enough of those drugs that we saw those people on. I knew what it looked like.
This is so funny. My favorite line ever was, this is way back in the old days when Actually, no, I think this comment came in reference to a bodybuilder type that was all jacked up and acting stupid and high. And I said, Tid, what's he on? And his response was, everything but roller skates.
That's right. 100%.
I think I literally blew beer out my nose. We are so fucking out of time. Tid, is there anybody else in the chat you want to shout out?
No, I think we're pretty good. We've gone through, you know, let's just take a quick gander here. Fuck them. THC, no CBD, 10 milligrams should affect you. 100 milligrams with no tolerance, you will have a panic attack. You know, Gina Bobina, edibles don't hit me. I don't think my receptors work. you know, so
what
like,
fuck are you having?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's good times.
Wait, go back to that last one. What'd that say? My first Chuba Chew. I took the whole thing. I was glued. What's a Chuba Chew? What's a Chuba Chew?
What's a Chuba Chew? Chuba is another, you know, it's obviously an edible. There you go, Donnie. You just learn something new every day. Thank you all to everybody who joined us in the chat. Let's do it again. Yeah, there you go. The Shuli Network. You know, Chiba is another word for weed. Yep.
Thanks to our friends over at the SNME Network. If you want to check out what they have to offer, go to SundayNightsMainEvent.com. They've got all kinds of other podcasts in addition to our own. And of course, if you go to GodfathersOfPodcasting.com, you can check out all the archives of this program as well as on every major podcast provider.
Absolutely. Be sure to check out the audio version only on the SNME Network. After this one, it's going to be fantastic. A bunch of other shows over there you can check out. Also, tomorrow here on the Shuli Network, always check out the daily that they have. It's always funny stuff. So, and don't remember, and I'll plug it for them, even though, because I am going to go down there, I think. I know that you're not available that weekend, but I am going to go down to Pottstown. I am going to go to this thing that Shuli, this little shindig that they're doing. It's fantastic. You can get tickets, theshulinetwork.com. Go there, get your tickets, and come out and support because it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much, guys.
I would love to be there in Pottstown, but I am double booked because it is the same night that my baby cousin will be getting married, and I will be the officiant performing the wedding. By the power invested in me by anyonecanperformweddings.com, I will be the officiant at my little cousin's wedding, and I'm very excited.
Donnie. It makes sense to ask the divorce guy to overlook their new wedding.
Choke on my penga. That's Tid. I'm Donnie. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is episode 134 in the books. Like I said, go to the website and check out the archives. You can also email us anytime you want, info@godfathersofpodcasting.com, or you can text us anytime you want, 437-375-2000. Send us your comments, your feedback. You can send dick pics for Tid, whatever it is you want.
Send them.
Hit us up.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get